Will you open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Jehovah is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Also, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3? Verse 14 and 15. Apostle Paul there speaking, because of our great salvation, we have boldness to come to God. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking this morning at Lord's Day 9 of God the Father. A very short section, only two Lord's Days. Lord's Day 9, question 26, what believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth and all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, willing, being a faithful Father. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, it would be easy, because there is that parenthetical phrase in this Lord's Day answer, it'd be easy to miss the main item or the main idea of this Lord's Day. The main idea is not to teach about creation. Oh, we would love to speak about that most eloquent book. We could say all kinds of things worth knowing about creation of heaven and earth, that it was a matter of 6 days. And we could speak of God's constant care for his creation that's going to come up in next Lord's Day. But those things are subordinate clauses or parenthetical clauses. You've noticed there the brackets around it in the answer. Who of nothing made heaven and earth and all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. But that is subordinate. The main issue here, what is primary, is that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my God and my Father. Boys and girls, remember, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is my Father. Jesus said after his resurrection, John chapter 20, verse 17, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God and your God. So we're going to talk about that issue. The fatherhood of God, that is the subject matter of the song and exaltation that we have in this Lord's Day. We have to speak of it in a way so that the children this morning can understand it and that the aged can find peace and comfort about it. It must echo in our hearts, in the hearts of those who are simple, but also the learned, so that they are able to say amen to it. You say, Pastor, we don't say those things in the worship service. In several of my churches, I've had members that all of a sudden would shout out a good amen. And that's what we need to do with this glorious truth before us this morning. The Father of the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my Father and my God. You see here, the catechism is holding up its promise to be experiential, personal, very practical. The eternal Father of my Lord Jesus Christ is my Father. He's the Father of me, a sinful, helpless, guilty child. He is the Father of his church. He is the Father of this whole world that he has made. And so we have really in this Lord's Day a covenantal theme, don't we? Our relationship to him who reigns above. So let's be instructed in the truth. God is Father. God is Father eternally. God is my Father. And God enables us to be godly fathers. God is eternally Father. Because that name Father means one who begets or one who gives life. So that the result is that we bear the likeness of him who has begotten us. So no theme, no subject should be as dear to us as believers as we are able to say, Father. He is the Father, eternally, in himself. And that might seem a surprising statement. Usually we think of God as Father, the source of all that exists. As we read in the answer of this, who out of nothing made heaven and earth? And yes, we think of God being Father of his children. As we read there in John 20, is my God and my Father for the sake of Christ. But we need to see that God's being is perfect fatherhood eternally. It belongs to the being of God. As he never became God, but was that eternally, so also he never became Father, but was that eternally. In other words, we may not say that God became Father when he created man. We may not say he became Father when Jesus Christ came in our flesh. We may not say he became Father when we are regenerated. He was always. We may even say that he became Father before creation. Because eternal does not mean something just before, but time was created when God said, in the beginning, let there be. So God is always Father without beginning and end. Always Father. Now, the first person of the Trinity is called Father. There is that eternal relationship between the first person of the Trinity and the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. Eternally, the Father begets, gives life to his Son, so that the Son then reflects the Father. John 14, Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus Christ is the express image of his Father. So there is, first of all, that relationship between the first person of the Trinity and the second person of the Trinity. Father eternally, continually gives life to his Son. But when the Catechism now is quoting this, he is thinking especially of the triune God as being Father. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. He is the Father of the Mediator. And that's why Jesus says, as he's thinking of the triune God, he says, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Romans 15, verse 6, we're told, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus in our flesh was that obedient servant of the triune God. And so we read, out of Egypt have I called my son. What is the significance of that? I want you to know it. That God, as the first person of the Trinity, is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, but he, the triune God, is Father of Jesus in our flesh. Significance. You and I, in the Apostles' Creed, are making a confession concerning God. And we're not saying merely that God is, but we confess that we believe that he is the Father. Perhaps you say, well, why is that necessary? Not just so that we have a correct intellectual assent to the truth, but this truth is a confession made to better praise our God. It's a confession that affords unspeakable comfort and strength to know those who know they are his children. He is my Father. because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that phrase in the Catechism emphasizes then the importance of Christ in God's plan. God eternally saw Jesus Christ first. And because there is Jesus Christ, therefore he created a people that he would give unto Jesus Christ. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of each creature. And of Jesus Christ, verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. How beautiful. He is the Father of our eternal Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he is our Father. Jesus puts it this way in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus is there referring to the triune God, Father. And Jesus Christ, who was begotten by the Father, now so reflects him that those who know and see Christ Jesus have seen his Father in heaven also. God is eternally Father. That's the essential content of faith. I believe in God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first point. Now, the Catechism, being very personal, bringing comfort, goes on to say that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my Father, my God. How is God our Father? Well, first of all, because he's the Father of creation. Yes, creation is mentioned here parenthetically. We are reminded that the creation is also out of him. He has begotten all things that are created. So God in that creation was revealing himself as Father outside of himself. Distinct from the creation, God is first, God is above. But Adam was the Son of God by the reason that God begat him. Created after his image, so that Adam and Eve, before they fell into sin, they reflected their Maker. And that's why there are all these spiritual truths in this creation that are made, because it was made in a creaturely way of God himself. The sun that rises in the morning, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wind that is constantly blowing here in Indiana, a picture of the Holy Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. The rain that falls from heaven, it's like the word of God that falls upon our open ears. The creation is able to sing, "This is my Father's world." that which he spoke and came into being and which he continues always to uphold. We'll look at that, the Lord willing, next Sunday. But now, not only is he the father of creation because he made it, but now the catechism is going on and he is our father. Because he is the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and only after that, for the sake of Christ, he is my father. And when we say that with a catechism instructor, notice this restriction, first of all. Who is he a father of? Negatively. He is not a father of all mankind. He is not the father of all mankind because of sin. He is not the father of all people, but only of those who confess and honor Christ as God's Son and as their Savior and their Lord. Let me emphasize that a moment. Boys and girls, listen. There are liberal preachers who are quick to use Father in their prayer. They think it's a rather generic prayer that anyone can say the Lord's Prayer, even while they deny Christ's work of reconciliation. Those that ignore Christ Jesus, God is not their Father, but he is their judge. As Jesus said, they are of their father, the devil, and they bear the devil's image. That was you and me by nature. Outside of Christ Jesus, all is darkness, and they are enemies. Now, positively, God is the father of all his elect people for Christ's sake. You see, God's fatherhood is not limited to just Christ Jesus, but it extends gloriously over all who name the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why we take issue with the New International Version that wants to translate the Jesus Christ as his one and only Son. Why is that false? Jesus is the only begotten Son, eternally begotten, but he is not the one and only Son of God. The angels are called sons of God. You and I, by grace, are sons and daughters of God. So God has many, many, many children. Children that are gathered from the world. Gathered out of different tribes and nations and peoples. A number of children, as countless as the stars of the sky or as the sand on the seashore. Have you tried counting the stars, boys and girls? Or if you've gone to the beach, have you tried to count even a handful of sand? God is a father of sons and daughters so countless, it is like the stars or the sand on the seashore. Gathered out of all nations, and that is why there is that importance of our church doing missions, isn't it? We need to make God known as he is in Christ Jesus, that men and women and children from all nations may come to know him and be adopted as children. How does God make us his children? Eternally, he did it. Eternally, he created men and women and children and gave them unto Christ Jesus to be saved. How does he make us his children? He sends his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, down and gives us new hearts. He adopts us. He has one only begotten Son, Christ Jesus. But he has thousands. He has millions. He has a multitude that cannot be numbered of adopted children through Christ Jesus. Begotten Son, adopted children by God our Father, taught by our spiritual mother, the church. The church. John 1, we read in verse 12 and 13, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, and even to them, believers on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Boys and girls, you were born of your parents, your earthly parents. But at baptism, we prayed for you that God would give you another birth. For many of you, it was even in your mother's womb, a heavenly birth. Now as sons and daughters of God. Isn't that what John so beautifully sings about there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew not him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the Father of Christ Jesus, the Son, resembled his Father. Those who would see Christ has seen the Father, Jesus says to Philip. Now you and I, adopted by God, we are transformed so that we reflect God. We are again refashioned in God's image with knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Raised by our spiritual mother, we are taught to know this God, to behold him as he reveals himself in his word. Yes. Know that, beloved. Know that you are beloved children of God in Christ Jesus. You and I who were sinners are saved by Christ Jesus. That calls for thanksgiving. And we are able to say, my God, my Father in heaven. We are able to make that personal confession. My God, my Father. And that means, beloved, that God transfers to me exactly the same father love and father care which he had for his only begotten Son. That Son in whom he said, I am well pleased. As we are in Christ Jesus, that is what God says about us. He delights in us. He says, there's my sons and my daughters in whom I am well pleased. God deals with us even as he deals with his own Son. As if we were Christ. As if we were always obedient. Because we are given Christ's obedience. It means, second of all, that I and you share in all the rights and privileges that Christ has. Christ's Father is my Father. Christ's heaven is my heaven. Christ's angels are my protectors. Christ's cross is my cross. For as Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. What is the significance of this? Three things. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is for the sake of Christ, my God and my Father. That is, in Christ, God has given us the highest and most beautiful proof of his love. You say, does God really love me? I'm so sinful. Does God really love me? He gave his only begotten Son. And there's nothing more than God could have given than that. God is my Father. As human fathers, or even as human parents, they might forsake you. There are fathers that have abandoned their wife and therefore their family. And there's mothers that have abandoned their husband or their children. God won't do that. There are fathers that have abused their children, and mothers that have abused their children with their words, psychologically, maybe physically, and even spiritually. And you know what's so sad about that? Those children have to grow up with that one that forsook them or abused them, and they hear the name Father, and their blood goes cold. They have a horrible image of what a father is. What a terrible thing that is. But Psalm 27, verse 10, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Or again, Psalm 68, verse 5, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. What comfort from God's word. In all of our troubles and trials and broken relationships, we have to think of that. God takes us to himself and is our Father. Sometimes we might ask, where is his fatherly love for me? Why do I go through these trials? We want clear signs of that love. And I say to you, from God's word, God gave his only begotten Son to suffer and die for us as our substitute. That, beloved, is the greatest expression of a father's love. And that should be sufficient, all sufficient for you and me. And with Christ Jesus that he has given to us, God will give us all things. And he'll give us all things. Why? Because he created all things. And this Father is Almighty God. Therefore, second of all, we can trust him. We can trust him in a way that you cannot trust your earthly parents. As earthly fathers, we might want to be able to give you something, but we're unable to do it. We're just not capable. Or perhaps, as earthly fathers, we're not willing to give you what you need. God, as Almighty God, is able to give you whatever you stand in need of for body and soul. And as your Father in heaven, he's willing. He is willing. He opens up his hands, willing to get whatever I need. What a beautiful confession this is, isn't it? The eternal Father of my Lord Jesus Christ is my Father, my God. That is the knowledge that we as believers, as we go through this life and its trials and troubles, have to keep uppermost in our mind and heart. Thirdly, the significance is the whole idea of a covenant family. We together know God as our friend and as our Father in heaven. raised together by our spiritual mother, the church. We have many, many brothers and sisters in Christ where there should be fellowship and friendship together, not bickering, not fighting. Receive one another as brothers and sisters in God's family. Paul writes in Romans 15, verses 6 and 7, "Wherefore, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Where God's children don't hold grudges. Don't have your lives filled with strife and envy. But be forgiving of one another. Forbearing with one another. Be kind and patient with one another. Receive and, yes, even embrace one another in Christ Jesus. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is my Father. Third point. Our Father God enables us to be godly fathers. We sit here as a covenant family with our children next to us, not sent out of the worship service to be taken care of or color or something else. With our children, we sit here and we hear God's word. God enables us to be godly fathers and mothers. You say, "Where, Pastor, do you draw that out of this Lord's Day?" It's not in this Lord's Day. I'm going to talk about that. I draw it out of our text that we read. For God says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." God, in that verse, is making that kind of comparison, isn't it? There's a likeness, there's a comparison between his fatherhood to us and our fatherhood to our children. What our children become depends largely on our relationship toward them as fathers. We have to be instructing them that they may know their Father and their God in heaven. And what our children learn of God depends largely on our relationship to them as fathers. What do they see? What example do our children see and then reflect into their Father in heaven? Does he care for me? Does he provide for me? Is he listening to me? Is he a godly man? Thus, the calling of godly fathers is, according to God's example, to provide for the needs of our children physically and spiritually. Those who neglect their children, those who forsake their children, are worse than infidels. Care for them physically, but, beloved, also spiritually. Provide for their needs. As God our Father provides for our needs. It means as fathers, we're going to withhold some good things from them. They're going to ask us for some things, even as we ask God in heaven for some things, and God says, "No, I'm not going to give that to you." The Apostle Paul cried out about that thorn in the flesh, but God says, "No, my grace is sufficient. That adversity is good for you," so that the Apostle Paul is able even to boast of his weaknesses. So with our children, sometimes we have to send them some adversity. When they have disobeyed and they have rebelled, they have to feel the consequences for their sin on their backside, or maybe being grounded, because there is consequences for disobedience and foolishness. The calling of godly fathers is then to be strong for them, even as our God is our strength. Or as we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Fourthly, our calling as godly fathers is to be faithful to our children, not abandoning them, not leaving them to themselves to make their own choices. Be faithful toward them as God is faithful to us in Christ. Fifthly, our calling as godly fathers is to be patient with our children as our Father is so patient with us, his disobedient children. They might forfeit their relationship. They might leave your home not wanting anything to do with you for a while. But that never destroys the relationship. You always remain their father, their mother, meaning you pray for them. You try to reach out to them and love them. You men, you mothers, are able to be so only in so much as God is our Father for the sake of Christ Jesus. What an example, what an instructor, what a God we have. And so at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, we can fold our hands, close our eyes, and as trusting, dependent children say, "My Father, which art in heaven." Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the teaching of thy word. Thou art the eternal Father. Thou art the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator. And thou art, for Christ's sake, our Father. Give us, O Father, then, that love for thee, delight in thy care for us each day, the trust and dependence that even in the midst of adversity, thou wilt work that evil even for our good. And then make us, Father, godly fathers and mothers who do not forsake our children, who do not abuse them, but love and care for them even as thou dost love and care for us in Christ. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.